there was some, but little emotion with it. And I was baptized soon afterward and upon west of the camp meeting site. And that could be the end of my salvation story. But I also learned that being born again was only the beginning of salvation. I would continue to work out my salvation through a union with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. And I promise you, I have written this before Josh's last two sermons. The present tense verse in 1 Peter, and this is just an excerpt, it says, "For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul." If I were to name this testimony or this story, I would say I've been saved from the penalty of death, hell, and the grave. And I am being saved through the present union with Jesus Christ from the power of sin. And I will be saved from the wrath to come, from Amen. The presence Amen. Of sin. Following my salvation, God gave me a deep desire for the Word, and I knew that I wanted to follow Him and serve Him. And I give my parents credit because they took me to church from the time I was born. We were part of a Bible preaching church. Plus, they lived the gospel out in their lives. They weren't just Christian. They were godly people. When I was about 12 years old, I attended a revival with my family at a little country church between Laverne and Shattuck. And this part of my testimony I've only given about 3 times. And I didn't like to give it. I'll just confess. The other 2 times were to small groups. This is the first time in front of a congregation. The message that night was about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This was not a new message to me, but because it was preached in my church, but it was the first time I had felt a heavy anointing that Jesus was offering this gift to me. I do not remember asking to speak in tongues. I just remember telling the Lord I wanted all He had for me, and He did give me a prayer language that night. Philippians 2:12, it says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." This is not saying in any way that we're to work for our salvation. It's a free gift, but we are responsible to work out with God and let Him work through us, so that the end result is obedience. In 1 Peter, it says, "Grow up in your salvation." Paul told Timothy, "Guard the good deposit God entrusted to you." Another place he said, "Stir up the gift that is in you." I'll give you a story. I do have a couple stories to tell, in which I did not trust God in working His plan for me. Instead, I was just going to do it myself. But because of the Holy Spirit and because of my father's form of discipline, and I never wanted to displease him, but when we had any discussion about what was right or what was wrong and what I wanted to do, he always just said, "Sister, you know what's right." Well, I graduated in the spring of 59, and Jim and I were married in the fall of the same year. We moved to Tonkawa in the spring of 60. I knew I wanted to find a church. I decided on the Tonkawa Bible Church. I had visited a few times. I liked the preacher. They preached the true gospel, and I liked the people. And I thought someday Jim would like it too. It would be safe because they did not believe in the present-day ministry of the gifts of the Spirit, and I knew that this difference in our doctrine was not something that should divide us. God was good to me. My children had good teachers. I grew in the Word. I taught Sunday school classes. I led the women's ministry. I never put my membership there, and they never asked me to. But they always treated me like family. Skip ahead 15 years. Same church. Same unbelieving husband. Now, Jim was a good husband. He was a good father. He was a good provider. I loved him dearly, and I do today after 60 years. But he was not a believer. So I attended a Christian school of enrichment here in this church. They were teaching on the gifts of the Spirit at a Christian church. I went all 5 nights. I became so convicted about all the things that God had done for me and how I had quenched the Spirit. And my trip life changed. I started repenting and praying fervently for Jim's salvation. I didn't know it, but God had been convicting him all summer. A month or more later, the Mid-South Boys came for a singing revival. Jim had come to one the year before with me, and he liked their Southern gospel music. So on the afternoon of their first meeting without, I went out on our large downtown deck where we lived, and I began to pour out my heart to God for Jim's salvation. The tears and the tongues flowed freely. It lasted until I was totally exhausted. When I finally got quiet before the Lord, he spoke very directly to me. I did not hear an audible voice, but the message was very clear. Go to your pastor. Now think about this. Go to your pastor. Tell him God is relieving you from all your duties there. Tell him you're not sure what the future holds, but you are sure that you are doing what God has told you to do this very day in his presence. Jim went with me to the revival that night, and he gave his life to Christ that very day. But that's his story. About that future salvation, just suffice it to say, the best is yet to come. He is preparing me a home. He is coming back for me. I have an unlimited inheritance because I know him, that I'm his heir. But what I can say to you all today, and especially to all these precious young families in our congregation, spend time alone with God. I love it that our church is a praying church. I love it that we have corporate prayer and private prayer and prayer meetings and prayer, special prayers for people and all that stuff. But there is nothing that will make your intimate relationship with Jesus more intimate than spending time alone